Blog Talk Radio.
Trying to talk. Oh, let me see if I have to enable you. So you should be able to talk. Okay, let me see what's going on with Sister Mary. Sister Denise, you still there? Give me a hot second here.
Yeah, I had to put my phone on mic on mute.
Okay, let's see what's going on with our sister Mary over there.
Okay. You want me to call her?
No, I'm getting ready to call her now.
Is not in service. If you feel you've received this...
Yeah, Sister Denise, call her and get her on the phone for whatever the reason. The number I got in my phone. I got her.
Shalom.
Shalom. You having problems this morning?
I guess I am, Brother Bob.
Okay.
I'm gonna log out and come back in.
What browser did you use? You didn't use Chrome, did you?
I probably did, by mistake.
Yeah, you gotta use the other one, remember. That's the one that worked for you at least.
Okay. Let me go back out and come back in.
Okay.
All right.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Okay, so while we wait on Sister Mary to come in. This is a rug that my daughter made for me. This is made out of yarn. Can you guys hear me over there?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, so it's of the seal. That's not the logo, but it's the seal that a country has to have a seal and a flag. And so I'm sure you guys are familiar with the logo, but this is the seal for the country, Yah's Global Kingdom. Yes, you did. And yeah, I think this took her a couple of weeks to do. I think she was, doing other ones too. She got a lot of orders in. Once she told people she was doing it, I didn't know a lot of people were into that, but I guess they are. Custom rugs.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. I like that.
Yeah, me too. And it's thick and it's heavy. It's real, it's real nice quality. So I'm going to put it on the website and see if I can't get her some other orders, through people coming through the website or whatever.
Right.
But, yeah, she did a real nice job on it. I think the only thing she couldn't do, there's some, cursive writing that's real fine that she couldn't get. I told you it wasn't absolutely necessary.
It does.
Yeah, I'm very pleased with it, and that's about it's 4 foot square, so it's 4 foot wide. Yeah. Yeah, I'm I have to reiterate to her, you know, how happy I am with it. And let's see. I put some pictures up. These are kind of sideways, but these are like the microgreens. How they look, and this is like when they're about, these were actually about 5 days old. And these were, which ones are these? This is the mix, this is the salad mix right here. And then these are the peas. About 3 or 4 days old. Then this is my work outside building these building the trellises and, you know, digging the pits for the actual reservoirs that the plants will sit in. They're going to be in buckets, like you can see this bucket over here. Let me get my pointer. Not the bucket, but hold on a second. So can you see where I'm clicking at on my screen? I don't think you can. That circle is like not real good. And take that off. Yeah, you see where I put that line at?
Yeah.
Yeah, those are what are going to go down in the ground, but I painted them black. And I painted them black because sunlight and water equals algae. And so you want to try to block out as much light as possible so that you don't get algae growth in there. Let's see. These are the seeds, growing them from, growing those plants from seed and germinating them in a paper towel. So this would be like after, I think this was 5 or 6 days. And, you know, just put them in a plastic bag. And, you know, wet the paper towel, put the seeds in there, put them in a plastic bag, and then come back 5 or 6 days later. And then the problem with this is the roots on them start to grow into the paper towel.
Right, and they stop sticking to the paper towel.
Right. And so trying to pull them off and that kind of stuff, what I did was I actually, some of them I pulled off, some of them I actually tore the paper towel and kept the paper towel attached, and then put them in the other grow, put them in this right here. And so, you know, put them in here and let them grow out. And then this is how they, you know, looked after they start coming up. No, it's not a dirt. It's they call it rock wool.
Rock wool.
Rock wool. Yeah, and let's see. She must be still. Oh, there she is. All right, Sister Mary. And go ahead and enable your mic, Sister Mary. To make sure I don't have to do it on this end. No, it's enabled, so. Remember up on the top, Sister Mary, where the address is at? You got the mic and the camera up there. You have to enable it up there.
I know you're tired of me. I'm sorry.
No, you're all good. Remember the microphone up in the address bar? You had to click on it to enable.
Right.
Did you do that?
No, because it's up here in the bar, it has allow and block. I don't know what that means.
You need to allow it, or else it won't let you use it. You're saying to allow your microphone, so you need to allow it.
Okay. And now it got the circles, arrows going in a circle. See that? Oh, damn, I do
that. Okay. You're getting feedback. I don't know if that's from me or you.
I don't know. Probably me.
Let me mute my mic. Okay. Okay, so you said allow your mic, right?
I did.
And say something into your mic.
Okay, hello. Can you hear me now, brother
Mel? I'm hearing you through the phone. But I don't see your mic. I don't see like your mic talking.
No. I don't even see the mic icon up there.
Okay, now on your screen, up where it says users?
Yes.
You see the microphone up there?
No.
You don't see a microphone up there?
No.
Hi, Brother Miles. Hey, how you doing there, Sister? I can see Sister Mary.
I can see you, Brother Miles, but it said microphone is something.
Hold on a second. Yeah, she's on video.
I don't know how I even got on video.
You turned it on.
I don't know how.
Probably up in the top in the address bar. Where it said, that's probably what you were allowing with your video. Where it says allow and block.
Okay.
So, hold on just a second.
You better not get tired of me.
No, I would never do that, my sister. Trust me. I used to do this for a living. Work with you old people.
Oh, stop laughing at me.
No, I used to teach computers to senior citizens because, you know, it's one of the things. Hey, I'm right up there with them now. But it's one of the things that they treatment for Alzheimer's, working with the computer. So
yeah, one of my pictures says microphone ear. So what does that mean?
It says microphone what?
Microphone ear.
Is?
Mm-hmm.
That's probably saying is enabled or disabled. But up above your name, you should see a microphone. You can see where your camera's at. Your camera, your webcam, there should be an icon for your webcam. It's probably green right now. Look up.
That's what I'm telling you. I don't have the icons up yet.
Look at the top where, you know, you're looking at where the users are, names are, right?
Right.
And look up above. It says users.
Users, and it says exit, action, and polls.
Yeah, don't look at exit. Look up under that. Look under users. You should have like a gear icon and a webcam icon and a microphone icon.
That's what I'm telling you. They're not there.
Interesting.
It's two arrows going in a circle up under user.
Okay, it must be still trying to get your it gave you your webcam, so that doesn't make sense to me. And you don't have the gear.
No, but it says refresh when I put it on the arrows.
Hit refresh then. Let's see what happens on your end.
No.
Still just giving you those arrows?
Yeah.
Let's see, when I refresh you here, see, your mic is green, but you're saying you don't have any icons at the top to enable or disable your mic.
No.
And you don't have the gear. Looks like a wheel with spokes on it.
No.
Interesting. Okay, let's do this. Up at the top, where it says exit and files and actions, go all the way over to the right, and you see the name of the room, Yaz Global Classroom?
Yes.
And do you see where you says raise hand?
Right.
Okay, no, that's not what I need for you, because you don't have the ability to share your screen. I was going to say share your screen, and I can see what you're looking at. Hold on, let me give you that ability. Okay, I enabled to share your screen. Did that hand change from a hand to a screen? Over there where we were looking at?
Okay, now I got a screen next to the hand.
Right. So if you click the screen. Oh. Yeah, I do. I'm talking to her on the phone.
You want me to click the screen?
Yeah, I want you to click the screen. Then it should come up and say start sharing or start recording.
It says start sharing.
Click on start sharing.
Now what I do?
What came up on your screen?
Nothing. I just see you and me. Oh, and some behind you. I can't see it though.
You can move me.
Where am I moving you to, Brother Mo?
Somewhere on your screen. Let me do this. All right, did that help you?
Okay, it says desktop share.
Yeah, that's me. Let me, I'm going to mute my mic because it's coming back through the phone. Okay. Now, what does it say? Okay, and what else is the same to you?
Select your screen area. Qualified of the screen share.
Okay.
Start sharing.
Click
start recording.
Click on start sharing.
Oh, I can't read. That's too little. It's a little box. It's showing the same thing that's on my screen.
Right. But we should be able to see that. So why aren't we seeing that?
Brother Miles, I don't.
Okay, go ahead and just tell it to stop sharing then. Okay, did you tell it to stop sharing? Yeah, it should. That window should have just closed. You should just have your normal screen there now.
Okay.
Okay. So what I'm going to do is keep you on the phone.
Yes.
And we'll do it this way.
Okay.
And we'll work on yours afterwards.
Okay.
All right. So just stay where you're at. And because that's weird. It says your mic is on, but you don't have anything coming through.
Only me.
It would seem that way right now. Okay, actually, I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know why it's just your machine right now. But I'm going to mute the phone, and then I will unmute you, okay?
Okay.
If you have something you want to say, just hit the hand. It'll come up over here on the screen, and I can see that you have something to say, and I'll unmute my phone.
Okay. You want me to mute my other two?
Yeah, you can, unless you want to talk. You can leave it open if you want. I'm going to mute my end.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Where is that coming from? Oh, I know. I need to unmute that. Okay. All right. If you can hear me, shake your head yes or reply yes. Everybody else in the room? Okay. Thank you. Sister Lorraine and Sister Denise, can y'all hear me? Okay. All right. Well, good morning and pray everybody had a blessed evening. I am going to just minimize my webcam here. All right, and let's go ahead and get started because we have a lot to go through really this morning. So good morning, and I'll go back over these pictures real quick for you, Sister Mary, since you weren't on. This is a rug that my daughter did of the seal, our official seal for Yah's Global Kingdom Ministries. This is what I send out in the email most of the time. And it has, you know, the date that we were established, even though we didn't start our stuff here until 2020. I actually started and created this ministry back in 2016. Okay, and so this is the seal, and this is what is, you do this when you have a country. And so we have our logo, we have our seal, we have our trademark, but this is a rug that my daughter, a custom rug that she did for me. And so it's hanging on the wall, and it's about 4 foot by, 4 foot around, 4 foot across. So handmade, and so I was going to put it on the website, and as I was telling my other sisters, see if I can get her some, she got business, see if I can get her some more business. People who just do into custom rugs. I didn't know so many people were into them. But she did this one for Yah's Global Kingdom. And then this is just to catch you guys up on how the microgreens were doing. This is the mixed salad, and this is them after about, I think this was 3 or 4 days. And the picture's kind of sideways, but I didn't have time to flip it. So it's sideways on your screen. And these would be like the peas, and I love these peas. They just leave, you know, the sunflowers and the mixed salad, they kind of leave a bitter taste. But these leave a kind of a sweet taste in your mouth, eating them raw. And then these are the trellises. I told you guys that I was going to put all of the plants that are run on vines. I was going to put them outside this year. So I build these trellises outside and start digging these pits to put the reservoirs in. And if you can see that yellow line or orange line, we change that color to something darker. Well, that's the same color. Okay, that didn't really show up that much better. But those are the reservoirs over here, that kind of clear plastic tank that's in the picture. They go underground. The ones that I'm going to put in the ground, I've already painted them black and painted the lids black. I built a box that's going to go in the ground on a pole. I didn't take a picture of that. But for the electrical and the air pump, so that they have something to sit on and they're enclosed, it's waterproof, so that if it rains, it doesn't short out, you know, be popping circuit breakers. This is just, I think these are the watermelon seeds that I did them, germinated them from seed in a paper towel, wet paper towel in a sandwich bag. And it seems to work real well, except for the seeds actually grow into the towel, the paper towel, so that's a problem, at least for me, you know, because when you start trying to tear them out, you're ripping some of the roots. Some of the roots don't come out. And maybe what I need to do is actually, before I take them out, is actually soak the paper towel, make it real wet, so that the paper gives way better. It's not dry. I'm trying to cling to them. So maybe that would be a better way. I'll try that when I have to start some new ones anyway, probably later on today. And then once they have seeded, then you put them in this, what they call rock wool. So that, like, if you look over, need a pointer. If you look over here, you'll see, like, where I've planted a seed in there, and they're coming up in here. And so after you germinate them, then you put them in this rock wool, and you put them up under the light. And then they grow out like this. So you just make sure that you keep them watered, because this rock wool, water will just go right through it. And so I kept water down in the bottom of the pan, but then, you know, every day I tried to make sure that I came in and watered these so that there was water in this rock wool and the plants continued to grow. And then this is how they look. The pointed, the ones with the pointed leaves here, I transferred them from in those little rock wool growing trays into the hydroponic cups. So you see these cups with the pebbles down in them. I transferred them to that, and so I could keep them individually. And then I water them from here. But these pointed ones, those are actually sweet potatoes. So these ones with real pointed leaves, like in the white cup. Those are sweet potatoes. These other ones are like cantaloupe and cucumbers. And so this is them just getting bigger until I transfer them to outside. These are the potatoes growing in the dirt. So So what I did was I went and got some potatoes. I buried them in the dirt here in this tank in the grow room, and they started shooting up these sprouts. And I think I have a picture. I don't know if I put it up here. I have a picture like when it first started coming up out of the dirt. And so this is how they look today. And these, the ones over here on the left, that's like a white potato. And the ones that are, all the rest of these are sweet potatoes. The sweet potatoes, just like, they were supposed to be the hardest ones to grow. But they grew the fastest and the largest, you know, quicker than anything else. So I have them. These will be ready to go into the dirt. All I got to do is I have buckets that I'm going to put these in. Well, actually, the process is you grow these out of the potatoes, and then you take them and you put them in cups like this in water to let them develop a root. And once they develop a root, then you take them and put them in the dirt. So they start off in the dirt. They start growing these stems up, and you break the stems off at the potatoes. Some of them will already have roots starting to grow on them. If they have roots already starting to grow on them, then depends upon how long the root is. You will break that and the root off, and you could just put it in dirt, and then it would actually start to grow. It's going to be in. I have buckets like this blue bucket here, but it's two buckets. So the blue bucket that's in this picture, I have like 20 of those, but it takes two buckets to make one grow kit. So one bucket has, and I'll take pictures of that next time and show you guys. One has holes in it that when you pull the bucket out of inside of this, the outer bucket, the potatoes will be hanging there, and you harvest by, you know, just harvesting the potatoes out of the bucket. So the potatoes are going to grow, all the potatoes are going to grow in a bucket, the sweet potatoes and the white potatoes that I have. Go back over here. So they start off like this. You take the potato and you put it. And let's see, I know I uploaded that picture. Let's see which one it is. 220409. Just a second here. 220409-6561. Maybe I didn't get that one. Okay, let me see if I can upload that one. That way you guys can see. Let's say new picture, select file. Okay, it shouldn't take it that long to upload this. So that should be done. Doesn't look like it likes that picture for some reason. All right, I'll have to show that to you guys another time for time's sake. Got that picture twice. Or did I upload that? Did I upload 65561? I thought that's what I uploaded. We try this one more time. Oh, wait a minute. Let me cancel that. Close that. Okay. It would help if I look at the right thing. All right. Everybody's able to see that? This particular picture? And what happened to Sister Denise? Did she fall out? All right, Sister Mary, are you able to see the picture on the screen? Oh, there's Sister Denise.
Yes, I am.
Okay. All right, so this is how they look when I first put them in there. Okay, and this is how they look today. And this is about a month old right here. So they went from those potatoes sticking in the dirt right here. That's how they look when I first put them in. And like I said, this is how they look today. And in this cup right here, like in the white cup, and these cups right here, yeah, in this white cup, and these cups behind here, did you have a question, Sister Mary?
Yeah, the potatoes, you can rejuvenate them, right?
Huh?
Down in dirt and
those
tomatoes, right?
Well, these are actually potatoes, and so the ones that are in the white cup, everything that's in the picture to the right of the white cup, except for that one red cup to the right, everything with a point, real pointed leaf, these skinny pointed leaves, those are sweet potatoes.
Okay.
Okay, and what I did was, according to the instructions for growing them, I should have took a picture from the side, but you would actually dig up the potato and you would break off these parts that are growing. They're growing out the side of the potato. And they have, you know, so they're coming out the side of the potato. You would break them off, and they have, some of them have roots on them, some of them don't.
Okay.
And so if they have roots on them, depending upon how long the roots are, then you could actually just take those straight from the potato and plant that one that has the root on it.
Oh, okay.
The ones that don't have roots on them, then you take them and you stick them in these cups. And in the cups right here, and you know, just put some water in the cup, and that stem will actually start to grow roots.
Okay.
And then once it grows roots, then you take it and actually plant it in the dirt.
Okay.
So these are ready to be planted. The ones that are in the red cups to the left, those are like cantaloupes and some squash and some cucumbers. Stuff mixed in here, and I think I have another picture. These are like summer squash, and so these are ready to go outside as soon as I finish putting the stuff. I got to actually put the electrical in the ground so that I can run the aerators that go into the reservoirs with the hydroponics, because you need to oxygenate the water, oxygenate, you know, whatever the plant's going to be in. And so I had to build that, out, and I got to actually put it in the ground. And then I will take all these plants, these that are here in this tray, and these that are in this tray and put them outside in this system, because I'll put these tanks in the ground, and then I'll run the aeration to them, and then I'll put the plants in there, and once they start to grow up where they're big enough to guide toward the trellises, then they'll run up and down these trellises, and, you know, they'll start to create their own shade for the plant, so that when it gets really hot, you know, I don't want to have to worry about the tank itself being hot, and the plant food and everything being hot, that solution, the hydroponic solution being hot, it'll start to create its own shade. But when the melons come on, the melons will actually, they'll hang down on the inside, and I will take like a stocking or something like that once they start getting big to support them so they don't just fall off if they get too big.
Right.
You put them in a stocking and you tie that to the trellis, and then, you know, they'll get bigger. And so I made six of these trellises going across, each of them with two tanks in them, one on each side of it. And so you don't see the big picture here, but I think maybe I have it, let's see, 230323. No, I didn't grab that one. But I have I created six of these trellises and the tank. And so once I put the electrical in, which I have to dig the hole to stick this stake down in with this box on it, then I can run the electrical to it, and all those plants will go outside. So everything that is in the grow room right now is designed to go outside. The potatoes, I'll put those in the bucket. They'll have their own dirt. They won't grow. I'm not going to put the potatoes in the ground. I'm going to put them in these blue buckets like this, full of dirt, and they will grow inside the bucket. And inside the bucket, the big thing with potatoes is you don't want them to be waterlogged. You don't want to water them and have water sitting at the bottom of the bucket. So I had to build a system where I cut out sides, like there's four big sides on each bucket that is cut out so that when you harvest, but the water actually drains down into the second bucket. The second bucket has a hole in it that allows it to drain any excess water off. So that, you know, you don't get, you don't want the potatoes to become waterlogged is the thing.
Okay.
So they'll drain out, and the potatoes will grow inside the bucket. And when it comes time to harvest, you just pull the first bucket out of the second bucket, and then you pull the potatoes out of that. So that system is, all I got to do is put the post in. These are the rest of the plants that they need to be harvested again, and I need to clean them up, get rid of some of the dead leaves. But these are the same original plants that I started with, and they're still producing. And I need to move a lot of these outside because they just start to get longer and longer. So you see how this, if you see in here, if you guys see in here, you see how you see those leaves missing?
Right.
That's every time I harvest the leaves off, and the plant just continues to grow, and it's producing leaves up here again. So I never cut off the top. So right in here, I harvest it, and the plant's going to continue to, you know, make, these are cauliflowers.
Yeah.
So they just keep growing up, and then, get my pointer over here, then here's the head, and out of the head you got more greens growing. And what I didn't realize was, now this used to be a real bushy tomato plant on the left here, and you can see where it's drying out, it's dying out. These types of tomato plants, once they produce their tomatoes, they start to die out, and I didn't know that. They got those that will produce and keep producing,
right.
And then they got those once they produce, then they start to die out. So this one is starting to die out. I've harvested off of it. It actually is running, if we can look down, it's actually running down onto the floor. And on top of, there's a cart here that there it grew over into as well. So it's a real big plant. If it was outside, it would be a real big bush. But it is dying out because that, you know, once they fruit, this particular plant dies out. So I will, start over again on those to get more off of them. But I wanted to get these. Everything that's going to go outside, I wanted to get it done. So that I could grow from there. So let's go back here, and I'm going to close all this down. So. Sister Denise, how's your garlic doing? And if you're talking, you're on mute. Yeah, I think she must have muted herself. Okay, whenever she unmutes herself, she can tell me how her garlic is doing. All right, so I hope you got pencil and paper. And let's do this. We haven't done it yet, so let's go ahead and do this. Let us pray in. And go ahead and start this. So if you got your head covering, you might want to put it on. Not right now. You look like you're getting ready to sit back down. We can see you now. Yep. All right. Amen. All right. So let's go ahead and let's do our statement of faith and pray in, and we will go ahead and start this particular class. Okay. All right, our statement of faith. Let me just go ahead and just read it. Okay, our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise on the day. Hallelujah. For he has kept us. He has kept us this weekend, and we just thank him. He brought us through the night, and we just give him glory and honor and praise. We glorify and praise you, O Yah. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We glorify you, Father. We magnify you on today, and we thank you for life today and health and strength, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Glory to your name. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. All right. Okay. We are doing Black History according to the Bible. And, you know, we've gone through some Exodus. We went through Genesis and went through the Table of Nation chart and where all the different people were supposed to come from, whether it's from Ham or from Japheth or from Shem. But now I want to start using this. We're going to look at this video, and we're going to start using the site Black History in the Bible. That website, and I sent you guys out a link to it before. I sent out the link again today. So it's in your email. This video will take all of our time today. We want to watch this, and I'm going to start it, and I want us to listen and pay attention, because the sources that they use are not always coming from the Bible. They're mixing history and written history with biblical history, okay? But they do a very good job of it, okay? So we're going to go ahead and start this. All right, I'm going to pause this for a minute. Sister Denise and Sister Lorraine, are y'all able to hear me now? Okay, I was thinking you guys were hearing me the whole time. Good grief. All right. So, yeah, I just noticed that my mic was muted. Okay, so we're going to go ahead. I'm sorry, we've prayed in and we've done all that stuff. Good grief. So we're going to go ahead and start the video, okay? I apologize. I thought you guys could hear me. So we're going to go ahead and start this video. Have your paper and your pen, pencil, whatever you're using. This site, this video covers a lot of history, and the sources for it are like the Spanish government, the Italian government, you know, history from the governments that they don't usually, we don't study their history, so we, a lot of this stuff that is written, we don't get it in the U.S. because they don't include it in ours. So, you know, pay attention. I'll be pausing the video in certain spots. If you have a question, you know, or something is said in the video and you want to discuss it, you know, just get my attention and we can pause the video and talk about it. All right?
All right.
Okay.
Would you hit the hand by the crab?
You can hit the hand, but you can hit that and it'll show me over here. It'll show me that you have a question. Or you can just speak up because your mic is not muted right now. Okay, so this is, but I want to start using these their videos and then their website as the source for this particular study.
Okay.
Time and times and half a time from the face of the servants And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to carry away of the flood. And the earth felt the woman, and the earth opened her mouth, and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnants of her seed, which keep the commandments of Yahuwah, and have the testimony of Yahusha, Hamashiach. The children of Israel, a people of warriors and kings. From the very beginning, from out of Egypt, they were a nation of warriors, a great slayed the Nephilim in the land of Canaan, conquering both man, beast, and the seed of the fallen angels.
Right, just a second here. Now, are we familiar with Dawid? Dawid is the Hebrew pronunciation of David. Everybody understand that? Your phone. Oh, say that again, Sister Mary.
No, this is my first time hearing that.
Yeah, Dawid. When he says Dawid. Dawid is the Hebrew pronunciation of David.
Can you spell that for me?
It's D-A-V-W-I-D. If you just spell David, but pronounce the V as a W.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Why is this not catching up? Hold on. I might have to restart this because I think I skipped some stuff. Yeah, I started over. Alright, I'm gonna try.
In fact, Jerusalem was conquered by Nebuchadnezzar, the king Thank you. Another group of captive nobles from Jerusalem were taken in 70 AD, the day General Titus burned the city of Jerusalem to the ground. Now, you need to know that back then, Jerusalem was inhabited by a special people, a people endowed with certain powers. I guess you could call them, how should I say, Eleazar, Mas, Abishai, Deborah, Benaiah, and Asahel. And when they worked together, no nation could stand before. But unfortunately, on that day, their bands of brotherhood were broken. And they fought against each other and fell under the iron boot of Rome.
Negroes. It began when a Negro and his family and their descendants
Now, about those Negroes, we previously pointed out that according to the Webster Dictionary, the word Negro did not refer to a person of African descent until after the year 1555, which means that slaves called Negroes before the year 1555 were not African. This was confirmed by Spanish law, which required Negro slaves shipped to the New World. They had to have been born in Spain. And remember, these Negroes who were born in Spain were under the curses of Deuteronomy 28 because they chose to follow the old laws of the Talmud instead of the written laws of the Most High Yah.
Of Torquemada in the shade.
all Jewish children below 14 years of age were torn from their parents' arms, dragged into the church, baptized. Those under 3 years of age were given to Christians to receive a Christian education, or, in other words, to be raised as slaves. Those between 3 and 10 years of age were put on board of a ship conveyed to the newly discovered unwholesome island of St. Thomas, called the Isles of Perdition, which was colonized by Portuguese condemned criminals, or Portuguese Jews, condemned by the Inquisition, to fare there as best they could. Those between 10 and 14 years were sold as slaves. This indeed, the cup of their affliction was full to the brim. It was a stern truth in which the Lord uttered when he said, "The Jews have experienced fully the unequal skill of the church in administering pain. Others cast themselves at the feet of the tyrants and pitifully begged to be taken with their babies. They were heartlessly thrust aside. Hundreds of mothers, mad with despair, ran behind the ships as they carried off the idols of their heart and perished in the waves. The serene fortitude which the exiled people had borne so many and such grievous calamities gave way at last and was replaced by the wildest paroxysms of despair. Piercing shrieks of anguish filled the land, childless and heartbroken and brokenhearted. They now sought to leave the land, but they were told that they had forfeited their right, and they were given the choice between baptism and slavery. Thousands, after enduring all that they did, after leaving the beloved Spain and all their wealth and ease, submitted to baptism now, in the hope of being reunited with their children. Thousands were sold as slaves. Yet, prior to being sold, they were submitted to tortures, cruelties, outrageous too revolting, too repulsive, too heartbreaking to be here now. Now, to pause here just for a moment, just keep in mind that these were black, Portuguese, and Spanish Jews, as the previous references have pointed out. Alright, as we continue, terror seized upon the native Portuguese Jews when they helplessly beheld the cruelties to which their Spanish brethren were subjected. They knew then themselves could not escape the wrath of the church much longer. They thought of flight, and well had it been for them had they made their escape then, while they were making secret preparations. John the Second died in 1495. He had been afflicted on the very day when the ships laden with the Jewish exile children set sail for the isle of the condemned criminals with a strange, painful malady that had lingered ever since. So King John II shipped the children of the Jews to the west coast of Africa became sick the very day that the ships departed from Portugal. Keep reading. His own promising son and successor preceded him into the grave. His cousin Manuel ascended the throne. He was the counterpart of his predecessor, kind-hearted, a promoter of learning, eager to further the interests of his country by discovering abroad and by commerce at home. Immediately, he disenfranchised the Jewish exiles sold into slavery, promised to recall the condemned children, and issued an edict in which he commanded kind treatment to the Jews and prohibited accusations against them. In their great joy, the native Portuguese Jews sent an embassy to him, offering him large sums of money, voluntarily, as a token of their gratitude. The king thanked them, reassured them of his goodwill,
but refused to be paid for human kindness. But, again, had destiny decreed that a woman was to play an ignoble part in the tragic history of the Jews. A marriage was proposed between Manuel of Portugal and the daughter of Ferdinand and Isabel of Spain. Manuel was rejoiced with the proposal. Already he saw himself in the near future king of United Spain and Portugal and of the entire New World. But Satan stepped between, dipped his pen in gall, and writing the marriage contract, demanded as one of the conditions the immediate expulsion from Portugal of all the Jews, both natives, which is the Portuguese, and exiles, which were the Spanish. The king hesitated. The fanatical daughter of the fanatical parents persisted. Argument made her more vehement. Torquemada might as well be proud of his people, the possession of vast empires and of the most powerful crown of Europe, tempted and the temper conquered. He had purchased his right to the princess of Spain at a sacrifice of thousands and thousands of lives, and with the destruction of the very pillars of his nation's prosperity. On the 30th of November, 1497, the marriage contract was signed. And on the 20th of the following month appeared the edict of the expulsion of the Jews from Portugal. The scene of mourning and wailing, heartrending cries which resounded in Spain, re-echoed in Portugal, only the more painful because of the terrible knowledge that they had since acquired of the meaning of the word expulsion. Manuel soon regretted his signing away his most industrious, most intelligent, and most prosperous citizens. But the marriage contract held him fast, and the Spanish queen kept a watchful eye on him and Torquemada upon both of them. The prospective vast empire and the Spanish crown still dazzled his eyes. He planned a strategy. He thought he could force the parents to embrace Christianity and to remain. If he once succeeded in getting all their children into his power and into the Christian faith, he gave secret orders for the repetition of the atrocious crime of having all children under 14 years of age seized from their mother's bosom and father's arms, dispersed through the kingdom to be baptized, and brought up as Christians. The secret became known. Portugal again re-echoed the wails of stricken ones. Frantic mothers threw their children into deep wells or rivers. Mothers were known to take their babies from their breasts and tear them limb from limb. Rather than resign them to Christians, they would rather know the bodies of their children in the grave and their released spirit in heaven than have them adopt a faith into which Satan sent his friends. With all the parents' opposition, the king's order was executed. Many accepted baptism, but not enough to please the king, and to wreak vengeance upon them for thwarting his wishes, he revoked his edict, seized all who had not yet wed, and sold them for slaves.
Striking me, the Assyrian type. Thank you.
After all, Hebrew is the native tongue of the Jews. To do this, we will start with Strong's Concordance, 85471. That's Strong's word, 85471, which is so. And if we look at the definition of the word so, it reads, of foreign origin. That's of foreign origin. And if we put that together, we look at the Hebrew translation. So means foreigner or of foreign origin. And Yudan equals Judah, which is H3063, which represents the southern kingdom. And if you put the two together, you get foreigners of Judah. So on our map, we have so Yudan, which in Hebrew represents the foreigners of Judah. Now, let's cross-check our Google translation findings using additional references. For example, the index in the back of the Talmud, Volume 3, reads, Yudan, a variant of Judah in the 4th century. And our next reference reads, Yudan equals Judah. Now, let's take a look at additional references to see exactly who lived in the soul Yudan. The Jews of soul Yudan are, according to my informants,
wow.
I know what happened.
I was trying to move it to make it larger, and it doesn't want to restart. Let me do this. I'll catch up to where we're at.
Okay.
Let's see. Now I'm not getting the sound. Does anybody have sound on their end?
No, Brother Miles, I'm not getting the sound either.
Interesting. Hold on. Okay. Just a moment. Somehow I turned down the sound. I got to figure out how to turn it back up. Huh? Yeah, let me see how to turn the sound back up. Okay. Let me try doing this from a different computer. Are you guys sound now? Okay, could everybody hear that now? Well, I paused it. Did you hear it when I just started it over?
I did, yes.
Okay.
Yes, I heard it.
Let me see if I can put it back where we were at. Okay, I'm going to start it right here where he does the definition of so you, Dan, again.
Of Soul Yudan are my horse, divided into many large and small tribes, with whose names they are unacquainted. Their mode of life, in some countries, is pastoral. But the towns are filled with traders and artificers of that faith, who gain a substance at their several employments in the service of the Muslims, under whose government they live as vassals. This, in reference to Mr. Bakhtus, kingdom of Yehudi, I may be permitted to say, is the only state of society in which that oppressed nation is suffering to live, and the tribes without security in their possessions, without public revenue or arms, are hourly exposed to insult and rampant form of blind zeal, and active bigotry by which their lords are animated in those countries, the lands occupied by those people cover a wide extent, between Messina and Cali. They are said to be mingled also with the upper Fula tribes, eastward of Timbuktu, and in many parts of Morocco. They have inheritance or are employed as artificers in the cities and towns. As we live among the heathens, says Bashar, so do the Jews in Moroa and Fulani with our brethren, but they are not esteemed like us. For they are a people hardened in their sins and obstinate in their fidelity. The anger of Yah is upon them, and therefore are they given to the rule of the Muslims. The Arab Bashar goes on to describe the Jews as brown color instead of the black color of the Ashanti. The Arabic word Soudan and the word Negro, which is the Portuguese and Spanish word for black, were bywords that were used to describe the Jews or the house or tribe of Judah. Now, this was foretold in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Verse 37, where it reads, and thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, whether Yah shall lead thee. A long, long time ago, when the power of the Pope reigned supreme, the one who calls himself the replacement of Christ saw the religion of the rebellious house of Judah spreading throughout his dominion. And in order to put a stop to these commandment keepers, he created the Inquisition.
Somebody say something? Yeah. Yeah, I can hear you. Sister Mary, is that you talking?
Yeah, that was me.
What's up? I muted the video. I paused the video. And Sister Mary, you saying that your screen is white?
Yes, mine's on too.
Oh, you guys can't see this video?
No.
But could you hear it?
No. It was in at one time, then it went off.
Hmm. Okay, hold on. Mr. Lorraine, are you able to hear or see the video? I don't know if she can hear me or not either. Okay, I'm going to go out of the room. I'm going to have to start it over and try to catch it up. All right, can you hear the video now? Can you see it? Okay. Sister Denise, were you able to hear and see the video?
I heard it, but I didn't see it.
So you're not able to see it. You're not seeing the video now. Oh, let me move myself out of the way. No, I actually closed my video.
Yeah, because I don't see you anymore, Brother Miles.
Well, it's white then, just white.
Just a white screen?
Yep.
All right, hold on. Sister Mary, were you able to see the video?
Yes, I've seen it, but I don't see it now, and I don't hear it.
Yeah, I paused it because I can't talk and have it playing. Nobody can hear me.
Okay.
Sister Lorraine, were you able to see the video and hear it? Okay, yeah, I got it paused. I'm gonna delete it and start it over again. Because Sister Denise saying all she's got is a white screen. All right, can everybody see that on their screen?
No, I have nothing on my screen. I got a white screen.
I think that would be pushing on the crown of mass minimizing.
Now, what are you trying to minimize? Okay. All right, hold on. All right. Does everybody see the video on their screen? Does everybody see the video on their screen? Not me, but the video that we're playing.
No, I see you.
You don't see a black screen with a red heart or whatever in it?
No.
Okay, that's weird. I'm seeing it, and you guys aren't seeing it. Okay. Let me do this. You might get kicked off. Give it like 5 minutes. I'm going to reboot this server because something is not acting right. So you might get kicked off. You'll just rejoin. But give me a hot second. Let me do this. All right, so everybody's going to get logged off, and then if you try to log on and it's not ready yet, you're just going to get nothing, or you're going to get those spinning circles until it's ready, all right? All right, go ahead and click reload on your computer.
And now I got the
hard
with the
56. Okay. That's what should be up there. Let me wait for the other ones to come back in. Testing 1, 2, 3. You hear me over the phone, though.
That's strange. I hear you over the phone, but I hear the video over the computer.
Okay, the video shouldn't be playing.
It's not.
Okay. Let's let Sister Denise come back. Okay, can you hear me? Testing 1, 2, 3. Test, test, test. Okay, so I can be heard. Let's see where Sister Denise is at. Sister Mary, see if you can enable your mic in the room now. Okay, you don't have the icons. Okay, I need to text Sister Denise and find out where she's at. Okay, when I did that, were you guys able to hear the video, see it play?
Yes, I see click black or subscribe, and then it says R1100, 110, I mean.
Okay, and Sister Lorraine, were you able to hear it?
Yeah, I heard it.
Okay. Let me see if I can get it back to where we were at. All right, Sister Denise, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
And our next reference reads...
Could you guys hear that?
Yes,
I hear it.
Could you?
See it.
Okay, everybody can hear it and see it, right?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yudan equals Judah. Now, let's take a look at additional references to see exactly who lived in the soul. The rule of the Muslims. the Jews as brown color instead of the black color of the Ashanti. The Arabic word Soudan and the word Negro, which is the Portuguese and Spanish word for black, were bywords that were used to describe the Jews or the house or tribe of Judah. Now, this was foretold in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 37, where it reads, "And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, whether Yah shall lead thee." A long, long time ago, when the power of the Pope reigned supreme, the one who calls himself the replacement of Christ saw the religion of the rebellious house of Judah spreading throughout his dominion. And in order to put a stop to these commandment keepers, he created the Inquisition.
Peace.
they expect the Messiah promised in the law, or have said that the Messiah promised in the law is not yet come, but is to come, and that they yet expect him to deliver them from that bondage, which they say they are under, and to lead them into the promised land.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Okay, now I can see you in here.
Okay.
And as you can see, these are just a few of the things that were outlawed by the Pope. And ironically, these are things that both Christ and the apostles observed when they walked around. And also, this doctrine of...
Your mic is working right now. So I'm going to hang up the phone because your mic is working. Sister Mary.
Some of the things outlawed by the...
Your mic is working on in the room now.
Some of the things outlawed by the Pope, by the one who calls himself the replacement of Christ.
Okay. Yeah, your mic is working. We can actually hang up the phone. All right.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
He outlaws the Most High's Sabbath, which is the fourth of the Ten Commandments, which was written by the very finger of the Most High Yah himself. And the Pope also outlaws resting on the Sabbath, as well as outlawing all of the Most High's holy days or feast days, including Passover and Tabernacles. And finally, but not limited to, the Pope also outlaws the Jews believing that the Messiah will deliver them from their present bondage. Now, keep in mind, the Christian church, led by the Pope, didn't persecute the Jews because they didn't believe in Christ. Because according to references, some Jews did in fact believe in Christ. Instead, the Roman Christian Church persecuted the Jews or the rebellious house of Yehuda for believing or for observing the laws, statutes, and commandments of the Most High. And in turn, they made it against the law to do so.
Your forefathers.
crucifixion. After the Messiah's death and resurrection, the red dragon destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD, along with destroying the Most High Temple. Rome razed the Most High Temple to the ground. The children of Judah were then persecuted mercilessly by the red dragon. And around 321 AD, the red dragon seized control of the Christian church when the Roman Emperor Constantine was made the head of the Christian church. It was at this time the red dragon began changing the Most High's laws, statutes, and commandments. For example, the Emperor of Rome established Sunday as the new day of rest and outlawed observing the Most High Yah's laws, statutes, and commandments. Around 711 AD, the Muslims, Saracens, and Jews conquered Spain and Portugal. Led by Commander Tariq ibn Ziyad, for a time, the Jews lived peaceably with their Muslim brothers in Spain and Portugal. The children of Judah from around the region flooded into Spain and Portugal. However, as time passed on, the Talmud was introduced to the Jews of Spain and Portugal. This caused the children of Judah to follow after the traditions of men, instead of following after the laws, statutes, and commandments of the Most High Yah. This caused the Jews of Spain and Portugal to be placed under a curse. This is when the red dragon repaid the Jews and the Muslims back for his defeat in 711 AD in Spain and Portugal. The red dragon began laying the foundation for the Inquisition and the transatlantic slave trade. The red dragon issued a series of powerful rules and edicts or decrees that would raise the level of Judah's persecution to new heights for many years to come. These decrees and powerful rules would send the children of Judah to the four corners of the world as slaves. It would also kill the men and women of Judah who would not forfeit the Most High's laws, statutes, and commandments of the Most High Yah. And last but not least, these powerful rules would spread the red dragon's version of Christianity around the world. The red dragon would use its power to deceive the whole world. Let's take a closer look.
Discovered in 1471 into other Portuguese settlements.
settlements on the continent of Africa. And from these vanished Jews, the black Portuguese, or the Negro Portuguese, as they are called. And once placed on the west coast of Africa, these Negro Portuguese were sold into slavery, were thieves. During the flourishing days of the slave trade, from 16 to 18,000 were handily transported from Ajuda, as the Portuguese called this place. Once placed on the west coast of Africa, these Negro Portuguese were sold into slavery. The reference reads that the said king sold all those Jews for slaves. But why? And how did this happen? How did the children of Judah fall so low?
Our forefathers are Abraham,
as King Saul and the Apostle Paul, Joseph and Samson, Aaron and Moses, King David and King Solomon, and of course our Messiah, Yahshua HaMashiach, or Mashiach, along with the 12 apostles, which made up the leadership of the church throughout the entire New Testament. They were all Hebrews, all Israelites. And regarding Yahshua, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 14 reads, "For it is evident that our HaMashiach, our Messiah, sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moshe spake nothing concerning the priesthood." Again, from Yahshua to the apostles, they were all Hebrews. They were all Israelites. In fact, throughout the entire New Testament, the leadership team, the head leadership team of the church, consisted solely of Hebrews and of Israelites. It wasn't until the 4th century when the leadership team of the church changed dramatically to something never before seen in both the Old or New Testament. In the 4th century, after the death of the Messiah, we have a Roman emperor, Emperor Constantine, become the head or the leadership of the church. For the first time ever, we have a Roman Gentile seated at the head of the church, along with Roman bishops. We also see similar setup in the modern-day churches. Modern-day churches recognize Roman Gentile church fathers, such as Martin Luther or John Calvin. This too deviates from the church leadership seen in the New Testament, which was all Hebrews, all Israelites. Once in power, we see these two Roman Gentile-led churches openly persecute the Hebrews and the Israelites. In other words, after the Roman Gentiles took over the leadership of the church, the Roman Gentile-led church openly persecuted and enslaved and killed the children of Israel.
Thank you.
enslaved the Hebrew Israelites by promoting a doctrine of lawlessness. The Roman Gentile Church taught the children of Israel that they were free from the law, that they no longer had to follow the laws, statutes, and commandments of the Most High Yah, all while in slavery.
Thank you.